Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we have Jason Lloyd in studio, and I do have a text that I have to read to him.
A text?
But before we get to that, okay, I did say...
Got to find him some headphones, too.
I did say Kareem Hunt...
I thought they were in the back of the car.
Oh, that's great. This is going well. Yeah. Hey, go in my, I'm in my locker. Tell Owen to go in my locker.
Beginning of the end of the show.
I just said
I'm
tell
standing
Owen.
Right
Owen
here.
Stand.
Yeah,
I can't see you.
We are 2 feet away from
you. I cannot see you the way the new setup. Okay, before I read the text to you,
yes.
Jason Lloyd.
He's going to get cigarette smoke all over him. You don't want that.
Yeah, he's going to be in here for the entire hour. We have
lots to talk about.
Coming through
clutch. Engineer Jeff Thomas with the headphones.
Thank you, sir.
But I just got this tweet from Kevin, and he's right. 1-2 punch might not be the preferred nomenclature, dude. He's referring to the fact that I said that Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb have the chance to be the best 1-2 punch of football.
Well, you didn't mean it like that.
Okay, of course I didn't. Believe me, I would have said it in a different way with a tongue-in-cheek and a wry smile if I wanted to go that way.
In this case, I wouldn't have done it in this case.
But I have to say, in the future, do I have to watch everything I say around Kareem Hunt now because of the entendre and what it could mean? Because, look, if the Browns are going to take a chance on a guy who did that and has a video of that, now we all have to change the way we talk about football.
But there's
and we
a difference. There's a difference between intent, and I think I didn't even notice.
That did not even cross my mind, believe it or not.
Normally
puns do cross my mind in sometimes a ridiculous amount of times, unfortunately. I do like to go into that space.
Like Andrew needs to wear a Wiggins, except something else.
We've had a few over the years.
We've had a couple of really good puns.
What were yours?
What was the one pun I brought up that you hated on?
You had Dave Tobe all over the place.
Eating hamburgers.
Right, Kelvin been jamming them burgers down his throat.
All right, so I don't want to be walking on eggshells no matter what I say. The Browns decided that Kareem Hunt, they were good with the video, then you guys have to be good with the way we talk about sports. All right, this is from my friend. Not going to tell you who it is. Ask Lloyd if he still thinks the Warriors are the only team that beats L.A. in the playoffs. What a ridiculous statement.
Yes.
OKC, Denver, and Houston all would be favored fairly heavily.
Y'all forget. Everyone in Cleveland's got amnesia. And I turn into like this LeBron stan. Y'all make me this like.
This isn't high noon, okay? We're not Mina Kimes. You can say fan. Don't say stan.
Stan!
Yeah, we're not doing that. We're not right, taking the
whatever.
Internet talk and
put
bringing it
here. Whatever word you want on the end of it. I somehow turn into this guy that, like, defends LeBron every time I come on here. And I don't know how I became that guy. But, no, I don't think anyone in the West outside the Warriors can beat him in the playoffs. No, I still think that. I also thought Mike Miller was going to win the Cavs the playoff games. What the hell do I know? But, no, I absolutely think LeBron can still beat any team in the West outside of Golden State. I still think they're going to make the playoffs.
This segment's brought to you by Window Nation. Shop online at WindowNation.com. You still think they're going to make the playoffs?
Yes.
I think they got until March 9th.
They're three back in the loss column of the Sacramento.
And they're
Kings.
Like, what, 4.5 out of the fifth seed?
Okay, five. But obviously they're showing great moxie for it when they lose to the tanking Atlanta Hawks last night.
Well, that was awful. They played awful.
Well, then you're telling me they're going to do something they show no sign of wanting to even do.
How many games did they – the Cavs lost to the freaking Nets last year.
Answer a question.
The Cavs lost to the freaking Brooklyn Nets
last
year.
Let me have you answer a question for me.
Yes.
Who is tanking harder? Is it the Lakers – is it LeBron's teammates on the Lakers, the Cavs, or the Atlanta Hawks? Because I'm telling you right now, with the way that they treat him and the way they seem to be around him and the way they're playing around him, I don't know if you could find a discernible difference. And so let me point this out to you, or not point it out. Let me
sure.
bring a scenario
Ken's
to
Ken's going
to
lecture.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that, Jason. Sorry.
I don't care.
Let me bring up a scenario here,
bud. I lecture every day of my life.
March 9th. March 9th set day. Get back to the football here in a moment. You got to take on – there's other teams, but you got Houston when you come back from the All-Star break. You got Milwaukee, and then you finish off that stretch. Clippers, Denver, Boston. Not easy. If they're not in the seventh seed by that time, I don't know if LeBron will do it. Probably won't. Someone should talk him into it. Someone should talk him into that groin flaring up and shutting her down for the rest
of
the year.
Well, he may not have to talk him into it. It may legitimately be a thing.
Let me ask another question. The reason I bring this up, because immediately a lot of people go, man, that's nuts. What's more embarrassing? Missing out on the playoffs, which we'd kill him for.
Yeah.
or getting completely obliterated by the Golden State Warriors as the eighth seed, which we'd also obliterate them for.
Oh, missing the playoffs is far worse.
Oh, I think
far worse.
I think if you were to look at that team, let me tell you about this. Can they get Kevin Durant in free agency this next year, this offseason?
Sure.
Can they get Kyrie?
I mean,
they got a chance at it. Yes. Do they have a chance at Anthony Davis in here? I think it would be easier over the next couple of years, say that they were able to, especially Kevin Durant, if they take one of these pieces away from Golden State, you'd be a contender. You could look at it and go, eh, that's not LeBron's fault. That's Lonzo Ball's and Brandon Ingram's and Kyle Kuzma's fault and all those guys' fault. That's why they didn't compete. It wasn't LeBron. LeBron was hurt. Look, he was hurt. It was a bad year. Tom Brady had a hurt year. The Patriots missed the playoffs that year, so he was out. Oh, well, you don't want to blame it on LeBron. I think that would be scapegoated instead of actually put on him. I think in real time, yes, we'd absolutely just kill him on the air and kill him in writing. But I think in the long-term legacy of it, if they were to go and win something afterwards with any one of that connection of players, I think it'd be overlooked. I think it would just be one little off year that wasn't really even his fault because he was injured. Look.
But he gets crushed for going and getting swept in the first round?
Oh, he would get crushed too. But still, if I take miles off of him, I take 16 games off at the end of the year. If I did it by the average, that would put him he'd be missing 432 points, I believe. I think he could get that. So it wouldn't like it would knock him off his track to get to the most points ever scored.
Right.
He can get that in future playoff scenarios. You take how many games off of him? I think that it would not be the worst idea. You're not killing me over here. I thought you'd be just...
No, I think you're ridiculous.
Murdering me.
I think it's ridiculous.
Well, I don't think it is.
You have eight
straight finals. You have no chance for an MVP.
Right.
That all come to an end. You have a group of marginal players or bad players who really can't stand you. I like you. I'm talking about LeBron.
Well, I mean, there's no question. I said that last week that, you know, that loss at Indiana was basically the entire Lakers roster giving the middle finger to LeBron and Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson and everybody else. I still look at the calendar and I know the guy. He plays his best basketball after the All-Star break. He said it before. I think they're going to be fine. I still think they're going to be fine. We've gone through this how many times in Cleveland? We've seen this play out. Now, being 10th, no, that's different. Obviously, that's different.
Those guys were trying in Cleveland. These guys don't even seem to be trying.
Yeah, but they
don't
sucked.
Want to do it.
They sucked.
This team isn't that much better.
This team's got more talent. This Lakers team has more talent than that Cavs team did.
Well, I do have to ask.
Last year. I'm talking about last year.
Well, all right. Well, Jason Lloyd's in the studio with us. So earlier in the season, it was Rich Paul has now become, he's now been elevated as one of the guys who's making everything happen in the NBA. Okay,
yeah.
LeBron James, we know what people say about him. These are two of the smart guys in the league. How does it get to this, though? How does it get to an implosion like that against Indiana, and they've lost four or five? Yeah, they did beat the Celtics, and everybody went crazy. They've lost four out of five. Okay, they're three games back in the loss column of the number eight seed in the Western Conference, and it's the Kings. It's not like these are the best of the best. How does that happen with somebody as calculated as LeBron James and as Rich Paul?
I think the Pelicans did a really good job of throwing a grenade into the locker room. Number one, obviously LeBron got hurt at Christmas. That was a huge... Again, I think we forget, the Lakers were actually kind of playing... They were kind of putting things together before he got hurt.
Were they really?
Yes. Yes. Yes, they were.
Here and there.
They were.
I know they were the four seed. They were also like three games out of the 10 seed.
Okay, well, we're saying they're 10 and they're four games out of five. So what's the difference?
Yeah, they're running out of time now, though.
I guess all those people calling you an internet stand for LeBron are pretty true about that. Huh?
Oh, shut
pretty
up.
Accurate.
But so what happened? First of all, he got hurt. Second of all, New Orleans basically just called everyone in the media and said, hey, they're offering their entire roster except LeBron. And it really threw a grenade into that franchise. And, you know, good on the Pelicans. If we're going to play hardball, then they're playing hardball. And I have no issue with the way that they handled it, but it definitely screwed up the Lakers' chemistry. But again, it's February. It's Valentine's Day. Long way to go. I still think they're going to make the playoffs. I still think that they – now, I didn't think it would be 1-8. It may be 1-8. I didn't think it would be. I thought they'd be higher than 8. And they may barely squeak in at 8, and they may get their doors blown off by Golden State in the first round. That may happen. I thought they would be 6-7, 5-6-7, somewhere in there. Even a couple weeks ago, I thought that. Now I'm not so sure. But I still think that. I remember, so it's funny, I remember talking to LeBron after 2 years ago, and I said, next year, meaning last year, why don't you all just go like 500, squeak in as the eighth seed, and then do this all again? We were in Toronto when I was joking about that. And LeBron was like, man, I'd go crazy. I'd kill everybody if we were like the 8 seed. I'd go crazy. Like, I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it if we were that low. And now here he is, 10th. Now, some of it's self-inflicted.
But isn't it bizarre, Jason, that, and I said it last night on Twitter, and I used a strong term. I said, this is bizarre seeing LeBron still in his prime, essentially around his prime, maybe on the other end now. Weird to see him irrelevant this late in the season. Do you think that was too strong a word? I mean, the ratings are down. People are not staying up on the East Coast to watch the Lakers. The Lakers are just another average to below average basketball team.
It's weird, though, because he's still the most I wrote that down, and I'm thinking he's still the most influential, most important player in the league. Yeah. And I think that might be one of the problems with the league, is that we still spend all our time, because of the way the Warriors are structured, we spend all our time talking about LeBron. And anybody else we want to talk about, Kevin Durant, certainly doesn't want us talking about him. So basically it's still all LeBron, but you're right. Ratings are 20% down, and what you're bringing this is a lame duck year. He's not even an MVP.
Not even discussed as part of an MVP season.
I can't even
argue
for him
like I did last year.
No, he's not the MVP this year, and I voted for him all the time.
Exactly.
But no, he also calls you the stand. Well, of course. But he missed, a month? More than a month? It's hard to win the MVP when you miss that much time, period. Start right there.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to win it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when your team is 10th in a game below 500. No, he's not going
to
win the MVP.
We're about to get the hardcore Browns talk here in a bit. I know that everybody's champing at the bit to hear your thoughts on Kareem Hunt. However, I just got to get this off my chest. What would you think of a fan who goes to a game and roots against the Cavs but is a Cavs fan?
I'm not following.
They want them to tank.
Oh, yeah.
Well, can you do that outwardly? Can you clap for the other team?
Do you know how many times in like my Twitter mentions
have I seen this?
Rolling tanks?
But I'm saying at the arena, have you seen this? Where a guy stands up and they're playing Brooklyn tonight, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if D'Angelo Russell gets it on a nice breakaway,
No, I haven't seen it that outwardly.
I have something I got to bring up.
Jay, I had friends that were livid that they beat the Knicks because that was a double whammy loss.
Absolutely, yes. I've been saying all year, lose. We all have. You got
to
lose.
I'm just trying to set something up for what I'm going to bring up with Lyman later because I might go to the game tonight. We might not go to the game. And if I'm going to the game, I'm not paying for the seats. They would be provided by somebody else.
Yeah.
And I would still want the Cavs to win. And that person who would be providing the seats as a friendship mm-hmm. does not want the Cavs to win. And so it's almost like this weird reverse Elaine Bennis situation from Seinfeld, where even though that we're all Cavs fans here, I'm the one who's stuck in the room wanting them to win.
Yeah, you should not want them to win.
Well, Jason, I watch pretty closely Kobe Altman and Jason and some of the others that are sitting right there courtside.
Watches them more than the game.
And I'm watching them because I want to see how they are digesting all of this that is going on. Man, they're cheering like they want them to win every game. And I don't understand how an organization, I don't know if that's just something you do because you're working the organization. And I know some people that get upset with me when I do this. And I text them. I have friends that work in the organization. And they're like, man, you just got to let it happen. You just can't root against them. But I watched Zion Williamson last night, who was in foul trouble. And then in the second half, go on a rampage. And then I look at the probabilities of the pick. And that win over the Knicks took them to a 7% chance to get the 7th overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, that's true.
So I can't have wins. Every win is a monumental disaster for them.
But there's a difference in wanting them to lose and doing it in front of their face wanting them to lose.
I know, but I'm not rooting for them to go to the playoffs.
Like, the most important
thing for the Cavs right now is the most possible lotto balls.
Very true. I get what you're – obviously, I agree with you. But, Jason, you've been around this team a lot for a long time. Now, I know that you're kind of at large now. You're an editor-in-chief. But they still look, they don't look like other tanking teams. They look like they seem to be having some fun playing with each other. They are enjoying their time out there on the floor. Like you've seen, hey, we remember 1, 2, 3, 6 weeks with the old Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
You're rolling your eyes. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're putting up a good front. They don't seem to hate each other that much. Maybe you know different.
I don't know. I won't say that they hate each other.
This is interesting.
No, I don't think they hate each other. And I think a lot of young teams try hard. You know, of course, the players are not going out there intentionally trying to lose. None of them do, ever. The organization is supposed to put you in a position where you can't win. When you properly tank, the organization sets it up so that the coach coaches as hard as he can, the players play as hard as he can. You just don't have the talent in order to win.
But finally, Mark Cuban admitted to it last year. And he got fined.
Yes.
Yeah. He said, we have to lose games.
Yeah.
And he got fined for it.
Yeah.
Then the NBA tried to de-incentivize tanking. Hasn't worked. You are seeing a race to the bottom. Four teams.
It's never going to work. You're always, if you're bad, why not be the best bad? Even if your odds are not as great as they once were, you still have to take that shot. It's your best chance at getting back to respectability.
All right, fine. That's enough basketball. What'd you think of Kareem Hunt?
Man, we talked about it on the show a few weeks ago. That was actually the first thing I thought of was, what did Ken know that day? Because we had that conversation when I was in, I don't know, a month ago, and I said I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. I don't like it. Don't like it. But I don't like it. You know, I wrote this yesterday, and a lot of people went crazy because that's what we do. I blame the NFL. I blame the NFL for putting teams in this position because everyone says, well, I don't want it to be my team. Let it be another team. Well, that's just kicking the can down the road. What is that really solving? So now that another team could sign him and then beat your team with him. So what are we really talking about here? So really, to me, I don't understand why the NFL does not provide anger management for every player year-round. Mandatory anger management. We have businesses, corporations all over America that provide sensitivity training over sexual harassment suits. How many companies do that? 75, 80?
Everyone. I've worked for six companies. They've all done it.
Yeah, exactly. But nobody does anger management. And the anger, I'm not saying it's an NFL problem. It's a society problem. When one in three women are in domestic violence situations, and I understand this was not domestic violence. I understand that. But still, it's close enough.
Yeah.
One in three women are assaulted by a loved one. This is a society problem. So as the NFL being one of the biggest microphones in America, why don't they do more in the grand scheme of things? Why don't they do more? Take a lead on something.
There has to be some personal responsibility, though, too, Jason, because I can offer you anger management.
Yeah.
Is it going to be able to be offered in the middle of the night? At the nine, or is it going to, or put in Bay, or in Kansas City, so where the three incidents went down?
So the backside of that is we've done everything we can for you. To me, the line is putting your hands on a woman or putting your hands on a child. You're done. Zero tolerance. You are out.
Well, by the way, I think violence in general, these are world-class athletes. They're in the NFL.
Absolutely.
And you have another incident that is alleged where he alleged, again, that he beat the crap out of a guy at a nightclub. That's bad, too. I don't want guys walking in my neighborhood who do this
kind
of thing.
Because we got into this conversation about it yesterday, and people are still in on this. This is what they want to talk about. So we got into this yesterday about it, and people brought up second chance, second chance, second chance. I believe in a second chance if you deserve a second chance. I don't know if you deserve a second chance. You got to deserve a second chance, there's a difference. I think nobody deserves a second chance. And if you're telling me that there is a policy, a no-tolerance policy, that you are done, if we can find you here, and obviously you'd have to talk about a court of law and everything else, so we got to get to the break. But you would have to figure it out to where you know that that person did it and then they are banned from your sport. Yes, I would support something like that.
I think you're right about that.
But where the NFL is, I knew that the NFL would eventually reinstate him, and they will. And I still stand in the same place when we argued it out 3 weeks ago, is that they're looking at this from a talent perspective. I know that the Browns are no different from any other team. I want that talent. We'll talk about that when we come back. That segment brought to you by Window Nation. Shop online at windownation.com. More with Jason from The Athletic and right here at 92.3 The Fan after this. Back of the Fan. Maggie Gray going to join us at 9:20 this morning. We'll ask her thoughts on Kareem Hunt, former SI writer, current host on 101.9 and 660 AM, WFAN in New York. Jason Lloyd joining us on the show. Jason, so your thoughts on Kareem Hunt again, where you didn't like the signing.
Didn't like the signing? Is it right to beat the crap out of a guy? No. No, that's not right either. But my line is putting your hands on a woman or putting your hands on a child. And if the NFL sets it up where you have these programs in place where these guys have to go through these programs, does it apply to everyone? Does everyone in the NFL have an anger problem? No, of course not. But not everyone in the workplace has a sexual harassment problem. Doesn't mean we don't have to all go through it.
People brought up constantly, doesn't he have a right to work again? I go, yeah.
Sure. He can go back, get your degree, go work in any field you want.
It doesn't mean that you have the right to be an NFL football player.
100% agree.
I still look at it, though, and this is double-edged. But when I go back to this thought, I knew the NFL was going to reinstate him at some point.
Yeah.
I knew that he's a capable running back and a weapon that my offense can use and could help out in a lot of ways. I never want to hear, and I can't stand this as the cop-out against it because it just doesn't hold water to me. Well, we already have Nick Chubb. Why are we doing this? Why? You always need better players. You always need good players. Nick Chubb's a good player. Kareem Hunt's a good player. I can put them together. I've never heard a coach in the NFL go, I don't know what to do with all this talent. I can't believe I have too much talent on this football team. Nobody does it. And I knew he'd be reinstated. I know that the Browns, I don't have this vision of grandeur, and maybe some people do, and we got that yesterday, where your favorite football team is somehow morally better than any other favorite football team. Lyman and I did a segment before you came in. If I look at the Baltimore Ravens, I have been critical of the Baltimore Ravens and the statue of Ray Lewis outside their stadium. And I think that people will now be much more critical of the Cleveland Browns with Jim Brown outside their stadium and obviously Kareem Hunt in their employ.
Yep.
So I understand that, but that's part of what the game has become. It's sad, and I would support what you're saying, but it's just the truth of what it is. And I see an opportunity to make the football team better.
Okay, so I'll go back to the sexual harassment thing. 5 years ago, did anyone think Harvey Weinstein would be done for his career?
No.
Did anyone think Matt Lauer would be done for his career?
No.
We could go on and on and on. Why are they done? Because enough was finally enough. And because people finally said, we are not going to do this anymore. So at some point, we have to do that with women getting beaten and children getting beaten.
It's just if it feels to me as if, what I just said, we'll eventually accept your decisions. I'm talking about the NFL.
Yeah.
Again, I always brought up Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill pushed a pregnant woman down the steps. There's no video of that, but it's been documented.
Yep.
He pushed a pregnant woman down
the
steps.
And he choked her.
Chiefs fans do not turn around and shun him when he scores a touchdown.
Yep.
But you know what? If you were the NFL going, we know this. This has been documented. He has been found guilty of this. He is not an NFL football player. People would, okay, we'll find another guy.
I was just going to say that.
They would support you, wouldn't they?
Of course. Could the NFL survive without Tariq Hill? Could it survive without Kareem Hunt? Could it survive without Reuben Foster?
How many years before that? And it will right after
that. At some point, you have to take a stand. And yes, I'm putting on the NFL to be the ones
to
take
the
stand.
But do the fans care enough to have it raised to the level? But the NFL is not going to act unless the fans truly care. And I want to know from the Browns ticket office, how many fans canceled their season tickets when they brought in Kareem Hunt?
I bet you some did.
Do you think it's double digits even though?
Double digit percentage or double digit?
No, numbers. Like did 10 groups of season ticket holders say
I bet you,
we're
I would
dumb?
Say yes.
Okay, and you know what?
Many thousands? Right. Yeah, I understand your point.
And how many are waiting to get right back in?
Right.
I'm saying it has to reach a critical mass.
I totally agree.
From an outrage factor.
If 5,000 season ticket holders stood outside of First Energy Stadium and burned their season tickets today, would Kareem Hunt be on the roster tomorrow?
By the Jim Brown statue.
Yeah. Would he be on this roster tomorrow?
No.
Greg Schiano is not the coach.
At Tennessee.
No. Why?
Because
enough people said enough is enough. Whether you agree with the decisions or not, the politics of the Schiano thing or not.
Yeah.
The fact is, enough people said enough is enough.
And they raised enough of a stink.
But the NFL, I put it on the NFL to, for once, be better. Just be better.
All right, Jason Lloyd joined us in studio.
I want to get to the phones. Can we get to the phones?
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, because I was
going to move it along, but you're right. We got to get to the phones.
Let's get to John in Cleveland. He's been on hold forever. John, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
Who's the greatest Brown of all time?
Jim Brown.
Obviously. So, I mean, if we're cool with being fans of a team that put the NFL 100 commercial where he was in that, and we build a statue for him, and we're cool with being season ticket holders for that, and he threw a woman off a balcony, now we're going to stop being fans because Kareem Hunt kicked a woman. I mean, on the shock scale of the video, I gave it a 3. I mean, I don't justify it. I don't condone it.
You just did.
But it's a 3. That's not
bad. Is bad. Honestly, John, because someone called in about this yesterday. Stay with me here. Say there's no video of it, right? If I did to my wife what Ray Lewis did to his, she'd eventually call the cops on me. If I did
Ray Rice.
If I did to my wife what Ray Rice did, she'd eventually call the cops on me. If I did to my wife what Kareem Hunt did in a hallway with some, it's not domestic violence, she'd call the cops on me. You'd still see me the same way, wouldn't you, John?
Oh, yeah. It's all bad either way.
There you go. So that's why I can't get into the, well, one video looked way worse than the other video. I'd still get the police called on me, and you'd still think the same thing about me this morning.
Well, the difference is in between, like, misdemeanors and felonies. Like Greg Hardy, what he did to his woman was a felonious assault. Like, that was a felony domestic violence versus a simple assault.
Yeah.
I mean, There's varying degrees of that as far as the law goes. But, I mean, we can't say, like, our moral turpitude has been violated because we signed Kareem Hunt.
I dig it.
It doesn't work like that. We're fans of a team that literally celebrates a man who threw a woman off a balcony. You can't, as long as that statue's there, you can't say, like, Dee Haslam, oh, my God, I can't believe you're on that committee. If she's on the committee, she should be talking about taking down the statue.
I think what Browns fans do, though, John, and John, thank you for the patience and the call. I think what Browns fans do, and I think this is what all football fans do, I think you try to separate the player from the person. I do this with Giants fans all the time about Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor is not a good guy.
Right.
Lawrence Taylor, he still gets in trouble. He's in his 50s.
Yeah.
He still gets in trouble. But when you name the best football players who have ever lived, Lawrence Taylor gets brought up, and rightfully so. He's one of the greatest football players who ever lived.
Yep.
So I think that you have to separate the person from the player. And there was still, but with Jim Brown, there's always going to be that difference because then people will bring up some of the civic works. And does that help rectify the situation of what he did? I think that's to the fan.
Well, here's the, I mean, 30
to me,
years,
it doesn't, but 30, to, that's to the fan.
30 years ago, as a culture, we accepted or turned our head to things that we no longer do today. Fair?
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course.
10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
50 years ago.
Yes.
So I guess that's my point. I mean, I believe very much in gray area. I'm not normally black and white, and I very much believe in nuance in gray areas. But to me, not when it comes to putting your hands on a woman or a child. No. That is my line. Like Pat McMahon, I thought, asked a great question to John Dorsey in the writer's roundtable or whatever you want to call it before Dorsey went in front of the cameras. He held a thing with the writers, and Pat said, "Where's the line? What's the line? How much is too much?" And I thought that, and John completely sidestepped it and didn't answer it. But that's my line. That's my line. Put your hands. I don't care if it's a three. Was it as bad as Ray Rice? No, probably not. But I don't care. It doesn't matter. You put your hands on a woman. That is my line. Woman or a child, you are done in this league. And if you set it up properly where you give them the training, is it going to matter at 3 o'clock in the morning if they're drunk? No, but they put themselves in that situation. You do not deserve to play in the NFL just because you're big, fast, and strong.
Let me get the scoop in Cleveland. Scoop, you're next up on the fan.
What's up, man? Now, this is where my take on it. Now, he didn't kill nobody. Like Aaron Hernandez, he had Patriots fans lined outside of the jail talking about free Aaron Hernandez and went before they even found out if he was guilty or not. And they wanted him back on the team. But my point is, like, Baker Mayfield, not saying that what he did was outlandish. I mean, he ran from the cops. He put his life in danger.
He had an alcohol-fueled incident
as well.
Absolutely.
Yep, but he did hit a woman.
You know, and no, but he almost got – he could have got – that cop could have shot him. I mean,
sure.
He could have lost – you know what I'm saying? That could have ended way worse than just hitting the girl. Now, this is from my personal experience. I mean, I don't want to get too personal, but when I was younger, we was riding the bus to school, right? And this chick, and I didn't know her all like that, but, you know, she was of a different, was just different nationalism. You know what I'm saying? She's a white chick. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't hit girls. My mom raised me, don't put my hands on girls. I got nothing but sisters in my family. You know what I'm saying? So I know. This chick called me in work, you know what I'm saying? And she spit in my face. Poof. You know what I'm saying?
Awful.
Like, and you know what I did? I did nothing. Now, I wanted to. I was so mad, and
sure.
I did nothing. Now, not only 10 seconds after she did it, my friend who rode the bus with me slapped the crap out of her and pulled me off the bus. And I'm like, why'd you do that? Now, my friend that did it, he was a white dude, you know what I'm saying? But he didn't. He seen how mad it was that it made me, and he couldn't believe that she disrespected me like that, and he popped her in the mouth.
So I get Scoop. I totally get what you're saying here, and I appreciate the sentiment, and obviously that stuck with you throughout your entire life. So, you know, you're going to use that as an example to people, and I think maybe the world would be better if we, A, would obviously not provoke these incidents, and then B, be able to show restraint. Unfortunately, when alcohol is involved, there are a lot of people that cannot show that restraint, and I got news for anybody that's saying, oh, there's no risk here, he's going to be reformed, he's going to be able to be a better person on the other side. Him coming home, he will be a target.
Absolutely.
And a lot of these athletes are targets all the time.
Yes.
You guys have no idea the stories that you never hear about that never come to light about how these guys are targeted in nightclubs. They're targeted at their nice apartment complexes or their condos. They are targets outside of their hotels. And Kareem Hunt, you are fooling yourself if you think it's just going to be easy for him to stay home, never go out again, and never be a target.
And I just don't think there's going to be any amount of cautionary tales that ever get brought up about this, because they tried the rookie symposium. You try to preach it to him all the time. You are a target in every sense of the word. People brought up what she was calling him outside of his room.
And that's despicable.
And that is absolutely despicable. And I would say at the very bottom of it, there's a bunch of things that you can do. You couldn't do that because, again, I don't know who this girl is. Right. I have no idea who she is. Right. I know who Kareem Hunt is.
Yep.
And she wasn't the one who lost everything out of this.
Yep.
It was Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
216-578-0092. More of you guys when we come back. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Jason Lloyd in studio, live on The Fan. Final segment with Lloyd in studio. We got Maggie Gray joining us at 920. Talk Kareem Hunt with her. So, Jason, real quick, how do you feel the division will shake out now? Because the Browns, I think the Browns are seen different now. Where before, it was happy-go-lucky. There are people who are absolutely against Baker. I think Baker could have the same type of thing that happens with Sean McVay, where people are waiting for him to fail in some way, and then they can really attack him. And Baker's much more abrasive than Sean McVay is.
Oh, yeah.
But now that they've made this move, and I said, I compared it with Baltimore. I can't look at Baltimore anymore and say, well, you guys have Ray Lewis outside of your stadium. I can't look at Pittsburgh anymore and say, well, we know what happened with Ben Roethlisberger over there. And most of those people will go, that doesn't matter, we win. So now you better win.
Yep.
And it does look like on paper this team's going to be much better. As of right now, especially with the Antonio Brown news coming out, how would you rank the AFC North? And it's early. It's February 13th, sure, for crying out loud. But go ahead.
I said in December I thought the Browns would host a playoff game. So, you know, they're going to win the division and host a playoff game. I'm not buying Baltimore. I don't think it's sustainable the way that they're playing. If you can't throw the football in this league consistently, I don't know how you're going to win consistently. And the Steelers, let's wait and see what happens. You know, I don't know. I mean, if you're going to make me rank them today, I would probably say Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincy. But
earlier in the show, I said this division has the potential to be the best division in football. Am I crazy? Considering Baltimore's got the best defense in football, arguably. They obviously have a gimmicky style offense that was able to get them to the playoffs last year after they sputtered out of the gates at the beginning of the year. And I can't bury Pittsburgh until, you know, Big Ben actually. I mean, Big Ben wasn't great last year, but they still move the football there in every game, right, and the Browns still haven't beaten them in 5 years.
Yeah, I'm quickly, like, rolling through the divisions in my head. I think it could be up there. Yeah. Yeah, I think it could be up. I mean, you know, they had the best division in football when the Browns were 2-14, and they were sending three teams to the playoffs.
One time, yeah.
Yeah.
And one time they did.
So I could see that happening again.
Well, I look at it this way. With Pittsburgh, I still think it's a question of Mike Tomlin, which Lima loves Mike Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin's probably a better coach than what other people want to realize or recognize there.
Yeah.
But I think it's one of the major questions about them going into 2019. Can he corral them and put them where they really should have been, which should have been a double-digit win team that won that division and probably going away? And they didn't do that. I want to give Baltimore, though, their proper respect. I don't know if that other shoe's going to drop on Lamar Jackson. I keep wondering when it's going to happen.
Oh, it's going to happen.
I got 8 months of film. I thought it would happen before. They didn't do it. So here we go.
Yeah.
So I'll still look at John Harbaugh and say, I think he's an impeccable coach.
Oh, I love John Harbaugh.
And that's not saying anything that's newsworthy there. Everybody loves John Harbaugh. Yeah. I think it's much harder to stand on the hill that Lima stands on. I'll give him credit. So I would still say Baltimore, to give them that respect. I would say Cleveland, then Pittsburgh, then Cincinnati. And part of it with Cincinnati is, I know you got better with your offensive line last year, and you still didn't run the ball particularly well. There's a lot of things you didn't really do, and it just
I kind of think Cincinnati's a mess.
Didn't work.
Maybe I'm
yeah. There's wrong. So many things that I think that they tried to do better, and maybe some of that'll be fixed just because they have a new coach. But I still put them fourth.
Absolutely, they're fourth.
I still put them fourth. I still put the Browns second. I mean, part of that's just a respect to Baltimore there and what they did last year.
I guess I'm just projecting what I would expect them to do in the draft and free agency by saying the Browns will win the division. I wholeheartedly expect them to win the division and host a playoff game.
Let's go to Kevin in Cleveland. Kevin, you're next up on The Fan.
Hey, how you guys doing? I want to tell you guys how blessed you guys are that you have a platform that you have to be able to save lives. But I got a 16-year-old daughter, and I'm just kind of worried about the things that I'm hearing. After we watched that video, I was just trying to tell her about the dangers of underage drinking
yep.
and provoking
provoking a situation. When I watched the video, me and my daughter watched it, and my daughter was appalled by, like, the things she's been hearing lately. And she's just like, it seems like to me that young lady's got some issues, and nobody's really focusing on that. To be 19 years old at a bar.
Well, Kevin, yeah, real quick, and by the way, I think more parents should be talking to their kids about all of this, and you're mm-hmm. right, all the factors that lead to something like this, and
yeah.
obviously alcohol was one of them. The only reason we're focusing so much on Kareem,
because it's a sport, I understand.
He's the football player. I mean,
right.
if she was some famous, you know, if she
right.
was a Kardashian, believe me, that would oh, be yeah. all over the place. Yep. So you're right, but you are right.
And I was just trying to educate my daughter about
good on you.
The underage drinking, and don't poke the bear, because as I'm watching that video, the young lady had every right. I told her, you call 911, you get away from the situation. You don't keep running up on a guy,
right.
regardless of the situation, that guy that can hurt you and kill you. I mean, he's got that type of power. Now, with Kareem Hunt, she could have gotten killed. What if he came out and supposedly what they say is true, that mm-hmm. they were attacking people and being basically little Nazis and stuff and attacking people? From what I heard, the friend was attacked.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors going around about
child
what happened.
Was attacked. And when I'm watching the video, she even looked aggressive in the video, like mm-hmm. she's running up on him. Even after he pushed her the first time, I immediately paused it. I said, that's when you get away from a situation and you go to security or you get away from him. You don't keep running up on somebody that can kill you. I understand society and the way we view domestic violence nowadays, but when you guys have a platform like you do to educate and save lives, you could really, 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 you know, help some young ladies out in some situations yeah. not to provoke a person, because everybody has that. How many people are dead or in jail because of that 30 seconds or 45 seconds of anger?
Kevin, what you're saying is true. What you're saying in a lot of ways, Kevin, what you're saying in a lot of ways, and we got to run and thank you for the call.
That's a great point.
What you're saying is true, but I also know it's extremely difficult, because what I know now at my age compared to when I was 22 or 19 years old,
man.
It's a complete difference.
Of
it's a complete difference of what I thought about, you know, living and working and having responsibilities then and where I am now. And I think that, yes, you can use that as a moment to go, you don't put yourself in this situation. You
right.
can't trust people the way you think you can trust people, or you're not invincible to the way you are invincible. I think I could tell Kevin was a little bit nervous, because I think a lot of people are going, you can't blame the victim, you can't blame the victim, you can't blame the victim. He's not blaming the victim. What he's saying is, you need to understand that you can't put yourself in these situations.
Right. And that this could have been prevented 100 times.
She didn't help matters. She certainly did not help matters.
And a lot of people are calling up about what provoked. Look, we don't have the audio, and all we have is a police report in which both sides are telling their sides of the story.
Yep.
We're never going to get anywhere with those rumors,
right.
so it's not going to really help the discussion. But I'm in agreement that obviously these situations could always be prevented 100 times over before it happens. And so the question is, Kareem Hunt coming back to Cleveland, coming back to this place in which we know that he has admittedly now had problems with alcohol.
Yep.
He goes out. He's kind of been a fixture at the clubs, both here and in Kansas City and in other places. Can he handle this? And can the Browns help him? Can they provide a support system? They did everything they could for Josh Gordon, and it still fell short. Can they do it in this situation?
I could do two more hours with you guys, three more hours with you guys. This is fun.
Well, now I want you to stay for an extra
segment. What the hell?
I don't care.
Well, no, we got Maggie Gray coming at 9:20. I don't care. Does he want to stay? We can stay.
I have a couple questions.
I'm sorry, Kent. Well, okay, fine. The segment is over right now. On the face. I mean, you can't do that.
Jason, you're not allowed to leave yet.
Don't wait until two minutes past to wrap up.
We're guilting him.
We'll keep
we
Jason.
Do this. We guilt everybody with like 1 minute to go.
578-0092. We're guilting Jason, also Maggie Gray at 9:20 on the fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.